Blog Talk Radio.
Each day do you wake up and get out of bed? You got all these feelings rushing round in your head. You got that bout with doubt and neighbors singing the blues. Pick up the paper and it's all bad news. But you know in the end, happiness is your best friend. You can be what you wanna be. Oh, dare to step high and live like you're free. I said color, color your life happy. Color, every day you can choose. Color, color your life happy. If you choose happy, there's no way you can lose.
The difference between try and triumph is a little funky. We all have ups and downs, but you can still be happy. If you're gonna step, you might as well step high.
If you choose happy, there's no way you can lose.
ColorYourLifeHappy.com. Get your happy on.
Hello and welcome to Color Your Life Happy for Monday, August 10th. I'm your host, Flora Brown, coming to you live from Anaheim, California, as I do every Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Our show today will inform, inspire, and encourage you. In a moment, we will begin today's episode, Color Your Life Happy, How to Achieve Happiness by Living Your Life in Balance. But first, I want to welcome all of you, my listeners. I'm so honored that you made space in your schedule to join us. I encourage you to participate by asking questions or adding comments. If you're on the phone lines, you just press 1 to let me know you have a question or a comment. If you're on the web chat, you just type in your questions or your comments and press send, and I will see them and read them on the air. Let me remind you, too, that the show is live, so that means anything can happen. Lost signals is one of the most common ones. If your call is suddenly lost, just dial in again at 347-539-5700, the number you called in the first place. And don't worry about missing anything because all the shows are recorded and available for you later under on-demand episodes on my show page. Again, I'm Flora Brown, an author, coach, inspirational speaker, and consultant. I'm also a mom of 4 and grandma of 3. I recently retired after 4 years of teaching from junior high through university levels, the last 20 of which I taught critical thinking. If you haven't already done so, I invite you to visit my website, ColorYourLifeHappy.com, where you can now invest in my book, Color Your Life Happy, for a special pre-release price. It is full of stories, tips, activities that will all speak to your inner desire to get the life you want and deserve. If you go over there now and get the book at the special price, you will be very fortunate because it is going to hit the press, the stands in about 2 weeks, and then it will be the regular price. On the radio show, Color Your Life Happy, we talk about ways to create the lasting happiness you deserve in all areas of your life. Each week, I interview guests from various fields such as self-help, spiritual journeys, relationships, change in adversity, parenting, and so on, all of the things that contribute to our lasting happiness. Today, I am very honored to have my guest, Shannon Carlson. Hi, Shannon.
Hi, Flora.
I want to tell my listeners a bit about you before we begin. Is that okay?
Sounds great.
Okay. Shannon S. Carlson proposes a theory of human potential that stimulates life balance is the foundation to achieving lasting happiness. Her own personal journey to find life balance was born out of her lifelong struggle with self-negativity and with the happenstance of infertility she experienced. She is founder of Shining Eyes Coaching. Shannon makes through her coaching available the insights of life balance as she learned along the way and passes the values of wholeness, responsibility, and intention on to others. You can find out more about Shannon and her work at livingyourlifeinbalance.com. Shannon lives in Tacoma, Washington, where I saw her not too long ago in Tacoma. And she lives there with her husband, Noel, and her baby son, Cole, a real cutie. Welcome, Shannon.
Thank you for having me, Flora.
I am most happy to do so. I know my listeners are going to benefit from hearing from you. So why don't we get started at the beginning and tell me what started you on this journey to find life balance?
Well, my entire life, I have never felt very grounded. And I think I've always known that, but I never really knew how to become a grounded, balanced person. Mm-hmm. When I was 30, a pinnacle time for many people in their life, I went through a self-development course in Santa Barbara. And during the self-development course, I had five other group mates. We formed a team, and we did an exercise on the beach, beautiful setting. It was in November. Mm-hmm. And this exercise was intended to bring about obstacles that were impeding us from being the person that we wanted to be or that we knew we could be. Mm-hmm. And in this exercise, I had to come up with different sayings or self-talk that I heard repeatedly in my head. Mm-hmm. And for each teammate, I had them lock arms. And that basically formed a chain or my barrier. And for each person that was in my team, I gave a self-negating voice to. So for my teammate George, I would have him say back to me, "You're not good enough." Okay. And for my other teammate Marcia, I would have her say, "You're too young." And so in unison, I heard their orchestration of negativity, which is representing the self-talk that I hear in my head. So basically what I had to do was overcome their barrier physically. Mm-hmm. And by doing so, I put both of my feet into the sand, and I remember it very vividly. And I remember I ran, and I was trying to bust through their strength. And it took me about three pushes, and I finally broke through and toppled into the sand. Mm-hmm. And I felt this overwhelming feeling of relief and this sense that I knew that I had the power to break through my barriers. Mm-hmm. And it was the first time in my life that I learned that I was living in black and white, but I tasted technicolor for the first time. And it was from that moment that I knew I didn't want to live how I was living in the past. Mm-hmm. And for that first year, which was actually in 2003, mm-hmm. For a year, a lot of things started bubbling up to the surface. And it was a great time for me to start to learn that there were a lot of issues that needed to be worked on in my life. Again, negativity, a sense of my negative feelings of self-worth. Mm-hmm. And so as things bubbled up, I realized that I was wanting and had to deal with them. Well, I was laid off in November of 2004. So that was really the starting point of me sitting on my couch with all these thoughts that had been bubbling up, and I had the space for the first time in my life to really work on them. And as I was sitting on my couch, I started typing, and it was basically journaling on a computer. Mm-hmm. I just started typing my thoughts and what was going on, and I also was manually journaling also. And what happened pretty quickly was that I was realizing, as I was typing about my feelings, I was learning at the same point. Mm-hmm. And I'm someone who likes to be proactive with things I've learned. And what I wanted to do, I realized it really came from a deep source that I still can't quite explain because I've never been a writer up until this point. Is I realized that as I was learning these different lessons, I wanted to somehow capture them and pass the information on to other people to help them, and maybe they could benefit from things that I had learned. And it took me about 4 years to write my book, but once I started in November of 2004, probably December of that year, to be honest. It became something I became very driven to do. And other things would happen in my life. I might have worked a part-time job, but I always had this strong, strong and passionate drive to get this book done. Mm-hmm. And I had a baby, as you had mentioned, in November of 2008, and I self-published, so it was my goal. It was do or die last year. I knew that I had to get this book out of me and into a printed form before he came, and I'm so glad I did. But I had the printed book in hand about 2 weeks before baby came.
Wow. So you gave birth to two things within a close proximity to each other.
I did. Two things that I had been working on for years.
Baby. Yes, yes. That is fantastic. What I heard you say that was especially powerful to me was, number one, that you had to acknowledge your negativity and face it, and in your case, the exercise of facing it physically, even though we know the negativity is in your head, but the facing it and realizing you could break through the barrier and get beyond it was a huge thing to me. Because,
yeah,
first of all, a lot of us don't even realize how much negativity we have going on in our heads. And then the second thing that you did that was powerful was the writing your thoughts down. And I've heard many people talk about the benefits of journaling, but what you did was really beyond journaling, because you were not just sharing what was going on in your day. You were sharing what was going on in your thoughts and your mind. And that's what seemed to create those lessons that were bubbling up. And it seemed to give you that urgency to get your book done too, right?
Yes, it did.
Yes. That's wonderful. Now, what personal insights or values changed for you? You know, what was going on before and what happened after that gave you these personal insights?
Well, I think what changed for me once I went through the self-development course, and I call that, it was my life epiphany. What changed for me was I knew that the negativity that I was carrying around was, I had become responsible for that. Mm-hmm. And I learned that the things that I had picked up, thoughts of, oh, poor me, or I'm not good enough, those were concoctions that I had created. Mm. So I think one of the greatest lessons I've ever learned is how I became responsible for who I had let myself become. Mm. Another value that had changed for me was knowing that I had the power to overcome that negativity or those thoughts of dislike of myself, mm-hmm, or any negative thoughts. Mm-hmm. But I have the power, and you had discussed the physicality of that exercise I did, which was extremely,
yes,
powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And in my book, I actually turned that physical exercise into an exercise that you work through on paper. But I realized that I had the power to work through anything. You know, that was 30 years piled on top of each other of,
wow,
of that negativity I keep talking about. And actually in my book, I describe it as self-aversion, which is described as a dislike of the self.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have the power to overcome those struggles in life. And basically I know now that I have the power to overcome any obstacle in my life, that I'm more powerful than those obstacles.
Right. And more powerful than you realized before.
Yes. Yes.
But while we're talking about your book, would you tell us the name of your book? I know you probably want to do that later, but we might as well bring it up now. The title of your book and how the listeners can get a hold of it, because it sounds like those exercises can be very powerful for your readers.
Yeah. The title of my book is called Living Your Life in Balance, How to Achieve Happiness and Inspire Integrity Within. And I have a website that your listeners could go to.
Okay.
And the website is livingyourlifeinbalance.com.
Okay.
Again, that's livingyourlifeinbalance.com.
Mm-hmm.
And anyone is able to order my book through my website. And anyone who does so gets an autographed, a personalized autographed copy of the book.
Okay. All right. I'm writing this down so I won't forget that. What is the one motivator that has made life balance important to you?
I think what has motivated me is when I have been in the space of being unbalanced, I have this insatiable hunger to be balanced.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, before I ever became balanced, I always had a hunger for it, but never quite knew what this feeling of being off a foundation or off balance really was. I just thought it was the way you live your life.
Mm-hmm.
And, but it never felt right to me. And then when I stepped into the other space of learning how to become balanced, I knew that I don't like being unbalanced. But I have not and never will claim that life balance is a place that is constant.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think it's constant inside us, but I think we never can stand there all the time. I don't think that's realistic. I think we can be balanced, and then as life happens and throws us curveballs and our attention diverts,
mm-hmm.
we step away from that balanced place sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I think it's our challenge to go back to that place of internal balance. So I think what motivates me is when I realize I am off balance is to get back to that balanced place.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So it's at this point now you have the ability to catch yourself when you discover that you're out of balance because you recognize how it feels, and then you're able to pull yourself back to balance. I think that's a great insight because until we have that capability, we will all think like you did before that something was wrong, but you just weren't sure what it was and what to do about it.
Right.
So if this life balance sounds intriguing to my listeners, and I'm sure it does because it sounds intriguing to me, tell me about some practical steps that they can start taking in order to achieve happiness in their own lives.
Okay. Well, I know that most people don't have the luxury of just sitting as I did. Maybe in today's economy, there's more people laid off than back in 2004.
Right.
But being a new mother, I now have a very difficult time finding quiet space.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that if we can carve out of our day even 10 minutes or more, if we find it important enough and have that luxury, we just need to sit. If we feel that something is not aligned inside or we're feeling out of balance,
mm-hmm.
I think that the first step that we need to take is to create some quiet time.
Okay.
And it starts off as physical quiet time. I think our environment is important when we're trying to create that space. You don't want to maybe do it at work, but if you can go to a place that makes you feel calm and serene, whether it's outside for a walk, even in your car, you need to escape distractions, people, phones, TV, internet. And once we can create that physical quiet space, I think it then allows us to go quiet inside.
Mm-hmm.
And I know from my own experience, I've always kept myself extremely busy to avoid what I knew was going to come up for me. The negativity, you're not focusing your time correctly. You're hoarding antiques in your garage, which is a personal issue I've battled. But I think that if we can create that quiet space and be brave enough to allow whatever is going to come in, I think that's our starting point.
Okay.
And once you're able to do that, and I'm not really, I do discuss meditation. I think meditation is a wonderful way to really get in touch with the very deep, quiet quietness inside. And I have a chapter on how to meditate, for especially for beginners. But I think meditation, that word itself can scare people and sound really new age and not typical to, you know, the go Western society. But I think if you can just create that quiet space and just sit without any of those distractions and just see what starts to come up and let that be a practice for a week, I think then you might start to learn what is some of the issues that you're burying or things that, you know, you're not happy with that might need your attention. Mm-hmm. So I think creating that space is the first step, and then getting to know it deeper and writing about it. That was huge for me. And if I started just writing my feelings down, not just necessarily journaling, but just writing, just they call it dumping, just getting it out there. I don't think if I did that, I mean, I obviously wouldn't have a book, and I wouldn't have learned so much about myself. So I think if you can find a way then to express yourself, whether it's typing on the computer or journaling or singing out loud, whatever means of expressing with words, how you're feeling, then you start to realize without your critical thinking mind what's coming up in your subconscious. Mm-hmm. So I think those are two first good steps on taking an inward journey. And another companion on this journey of going inside, I think it's an intangible journey. And I think when we realize that we want to live a certain way or live with more integrity or happiness, as you know about Flora, and you talk about, I think that we sometimes very easily get stuck, and I think that's why people become afraid of taking a look inward is, first of all, they don't know where to begin, and second of all, you might do a little bit of work and then become fearful, which is very easy to do, and then get stuck and not know what the next step is. So that's why in my book, which is half workbook, but it's more narrative, I call it a guided journal. I hope that it's a blueprint for my readers to assist them on working through yourself layer by layer. So I think whether it's my book or your book, Flora, and there's so many wonderful personal growth books out there, I think if you can find some kind of reading material to help you to help you work through those layers and go deeper inside, I think that that's extremely beneficial too.
Okay, I want to go back to just review what you said because I've been taking notes because I think it's extremely important, and I agree that people do hesitate to do these things you're saying that are so simple. They don't cost money, but they certainly cost investment of time, and that is to find a quiet place, and the average person will tell you, I don't have any place where I can be quiet. Well, everybody has some place they can find to get quiet if you're committed to do that. And like you say, it's important to set aside just a small amount of time because it's kind of like when you finally decide you want to lose weight. If you keep thinking about trying to lose, you know, all 50 pounds or whatever at one time, it's just too overwhelming. So you have to think about just one little something or one little step, and I think just finding space for 10 minutes. I read it on someone's blog. This guy says he creates a place in his house on his property that considers his sanctuary, and it's the place he goes to when he wants to get quiet. Mm. And it doesn't have to be a fancy place, just some place. It could be the park. It can be whatever is near you. And then the other thing about getting quiet within, I think that's even scarier than finding the quiet place. Because many people are fearful of what will come up. And if you sit quietly, things will come up. And then that's where writing it down is very beneficial. I don't think people who've never done this before realize how writing your feelings down brings up some of the very solutions you've been seeking. Even just asking the questions that are troubling you can bring the answers. But you have to be quiet. to hear it. You just can't, it won't come up with all the noise that we create in our lives. And the other thing you said about finding reading material is so, so important. And there's certainly no shortage of books and blogs and websites to help us. So I encourage all of my listeners to find, to go and browse and find whatever book speaks to you and let it be your guide, your motivator, your encourager. Shannon, could you tell me more about the importance of repeating these steps you've given us, the quiet place and the quiet within and so forth. What's the importance of repeating these?
Well, as I discussed a little bit earlier, I don't think that being balanced is a place that we can constantly stay in our human form. Mm-hmm. I just don't believe that I think there's certain people in life that that stay balanced more than others, but with relationships we have and just our mind shifts away from the focus of I'm doing this deep work. It's not something we can constantly do.
Right.
So, and as we get thrown off balance, and it occurs daily for me, and especially having a new child, it's been a challenge.
Yes.
To have this huge new role, the largest one I've ever had, and to try to keep my feet under me and go back to that balanced state. So that's been a learning experience for me too, in how I function by not being strong. Because as a new mother, I was thrown off a bit by that, or I was thrown off a lot by that, and just kind of knocked off my feet. But what I realized was that when I realized I had to pull myself together and say, you know what, I can do this. I realized that strength is a habit and strength is a choice.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we are knocked off, we have to have the strength to pull ourselves back to that balanced place.
Mm-hmm.
And I know for myself, writing this book for 4 years and having touched life balance in 2003 and until now, I realized that I have to find the grounding space again and again and again.
Yeah.
And it's just like the seasons. As we don't live in one season throughout the year, we live in four seasons, and then the first one comes back around. That's the same as doing the work of trying to find that balanced place again.
Mm-hmm.
So as I realized earlier this year that I needed to make this decision, okay, I'm going to be a strong mother. I've wanted this for so many years.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I dealt with a little I had a lot of postpartum anxiety. And here I had just written a book on life balance, and I feel the most unbalanced I ever have in my whole life. I had to make that decision. I am stronger than the struggle.
Yeah.
And so I, again, had to find that quiet place that we were talking about, and I started journaling.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the other exercises that I discuss in my book. But you just have to keep pulling yourself back.
Yes.
And I believe that every time you make that circle, that you become stronger and stronger.
Right.
And stronger, and it becomes more easy to find.
Right. It's like your book is not only a blueprint for others, but it's for you. Your book is what you have to refer to.
Yeah, exactly. Definitely.
Exactly what I have to do. I was going to say something. One of the things I think you've pointed out is the importance of having to repeat these steps, because we are not going to be able to sustain forever this balance. And I think that many people get discouraged when they discover that, because somehow or another they think it's a place they'll get to and stay forevermore. But if only we can think about things like putting gas in your tank. You know, you have to refill your gas tank if you want your car to run. And in the metaphysical, if you think about monks who live in seclusion and who have a lot of quiet time, they still spend time praying and meditating. to bring themselves in balance, and they have fewer distractions than we do,
yeah.
That's for sure. But they still have distractions because they still have their minds. They still are humans, even though they're living a unique experience. So if they have to pray daily, all day, if we have to fill our gas tanks, then certainly we can understand that we need to fill ourselves back up. We need to get ourselves back on balance. Now,
that's a great point.
Tell us how others can stay motivated to do this internal work that we need to do.
I think the best way to stay motivated is to realize or to think about how you're living your life now and who you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that if people, through different exercises and through journaling and through that quiet space, if they come to know more who they are, and if there's a lot of a big part of them, if they realize they don't like who they become,
mm-hmm.
I think the motivator is then the first time you just taste being differently, acting differently, especially thinking differently and feeling differently, that little taste, that first taste you got, that first taste that I got on the beaches of Santa Barbara,
mm-hmm.
that I knew I was stronger than my internal self-talk. Once you taste that, then it becomes just this hunger
mm-hmm.
of wanting to fill up every cell in your body, knowing that you can just be exuding this energy of being positive, of happiness, of being grounded and fluid in life.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that motivating factor, I know for me, is having that taste of being balanced and wanting it so badly when I know I'm off kilter.
It seems like once you've had the experience and success of breaking through the negativity and feeling what it's like to be balanced, I think that can motivate you because now you know you can do it. You've had that experience. You know you can get back to it. What are the signs when someone finds balance? You've mentioned when you found balance how you feel. How could the rest of us recognize when we have found balance? What does that feel like?
Well, I think, you know, balance is just, it's one point. And I think people can shift in and out of being balanced when they haven't tried to find it.
Yes.
And I think it comes from, you know, if there's somebody who hasn't gone on an inward journey, which is most of the people I know, I think that they do have fleeting moments of being balanced. And those moments come in happiness, moments where you let go of your ego and you're just a being that is just enjoying, and you're not defining yourself by a role or by what you have to do or who you are, you know, what's happened to you in your life. And I think that that we can once we haven't, I'm sorry, Flora, I'm getting off kilter, or myself. See, I'm becoming imbalanced. Can you repeat the question?
Certainly. What are the signs when someone finds life balance? You mentioned
Thank you.
That we all could have little fleeting moments of this, even if we haven't done the self-examination.
Right.
So what are some of the signs? You mentioned that when we do things and ego is not in the way.
Right. So I think some of the signs are just feeling a joy that you haven't had before.
Mm-hmm.
And I think realizing that you felt differently compared to how you live your life is a sign.
Okay.
If you know that you were living in a space that wasn't worried about what other people thought of you or what you had to do, but you were just being and existing, I think that if you can become other and then step back to where you currently are in your life, even though you don't like who you may be,
mm-hmm.
right, then that is a taste of being balanced. If you can realize whether you work for that balance space or not, but if you can see yourself that you felt differently at that time,
mm-hmm.
that's a taste.
That's a taste. Okay.
That's a taste. And for myself, and I keep referring back to my starting point, but my feeling of feeling balanced came instantly and left swiftly, and that was the epiphany I had during that self-development course.
Right.
But I tasted it, and then I realized, oh, that was a state of being balanced, just knowing I was stronger than my self-talk, and knowing that I had the power to, I wasn't worried about the negativity that I was feeling in my head. I was just, I became joyful and powerful, and I realized that there was integrity there that I knew I needed to tap into.
Now, when someone begins to uncover the layers of their internal makeup, because as you've mentioned, you're going to have to repeat these steps, and as you do, you're going to uncover more and more layers. What are some feelings that people may experience? What might we experience as we uncover these layers of our internal makeup?
Well, that's a great question. The way that I have envisioned this journey is that there is a beautiful core and a nucleus inside every single person on this earth.
Mm-hmm.
And from the moment of birth, we naturally become someone's child, someone's son, someone's daughter. And as we get older, we add more roles to our life. And I believe those roles start to become layers that we form around our nucleus.
Mm-hmm.
And other than roles, I believe that we also, along with those roles, comes ego. And also our pattern behaviors that we've picked up along the way.
Mm-hmm.
So I think all of those layers, once we realize that we want to remove those layers and at least briefly to see what's inside, a lot of things can bubble up and will bubble up, I think, for people. The deeper they want to go, the deeper they do go, I believe people, and for myself, uncover feelings that they've been running from and they've been hiding their entire life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that as you start to peel back the layers, there's fear. There's definitely fear.
Fear.
I know there was,
what I was thinking.
There's a fear of what's there.
Mm-hmm.
There's a fear of what's happened to me, and mm-hmm. there's pain. And I think there can be tremendous sadness depending on your situation.
Mm-hmm.
But I think also by peeling back those layers, other energies come from within at that core that I talked about.
Mm-hmm.
And those positive energies are just this abounding power that you feel. And I don't mean a self-righteous power, but a power that you know that you have the power to co-create your world, as Dr. Wayne Dyer says.
Yes.
And I say co-create your universe.
Yes.
And also this feeling of integrity that you are a beautiful person, and this feeling of wholeness.
Yes.
That you're not broken up into these little pieces of ego and the different roles you play, work, family, friends. But there's also, in conjunction to the negative feelings one will feel, are these just amazing, powerful energies that those energies help transform and help keep you wanting to become and to stay, to keep going back to staying centered.
Yeah. Would you share briefly a time when it was difficult for you to stay balanced? I know you mentioned after your baby was born. Was that the most difficult time?
It was. Mm-hmm. It was. And I think after I had my book in hand, as I said, 2 weeks before baby came, I felt that I had kind of gone full circle with the book. Here I was, somebody who is talking about life balance, teaching others and working with others on how to find it. And then I felt, after having my son Cole, I felt just extremely knocked off my feet.
Mm-hmm.
And my problem wasn't being a new mother being knocked off my feet, but thinking that there was something wrong with me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it was probably 2 months. He was about 2 months old, and I mean, I think I have the typical, I don't think I was depressed, but I think I had postpartum anxiety. I know I did.
Sure.
And I think it was the typical, they say, 6 to 7 weeks. It's heightened, and for somebody who's gone through infertility treatments, as we did, to conceive him, that plays a role, and it was the holidays at my 6 to 7 weeks. It was Christmas.
My goodness.
And so I think all of that, yeah, all of that might have contributed, but yet I don't want to use that as an excuse. But no matter...
But it definitely contributed, yes.
Probably. But, you know, no matter what the experience was or why it came about, I knew that I had to make the choice to become that strong person again.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember seeing on a church billboard, strength is a choice or strength is a habit. And it was just that epiphany again, just that, oh yeah, I need to do the work that I know how to do,
mm-hmm.
the internal work I know how to do that I've done before, and get back to that place of being empowered and being strong and knowing that I can work through this.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's so wonderful, Shannon, that you had gone through this work before you experienced the postpartum period, because it gave you something to fall back on. It gave you an experience to know that you can pull through this. There are so many people that enter that period and it catches them off guard, and they don't have any experience of feeling strong, having felt strong, and being able to pull themselves out of it. So you were very fortunate and blessed you had gone through that,
yes.
before you had this experience, because this is the beauty of having gone through your experience of strength. You have something you can point to and go, okay, I know I can pull back. And you also recognize when you're going through it. I think if we haven't been in balance before, it's hard to recognize, like you say, we just think that's the way things are and maybe there's something wrong with me type of thing.
Right.
Yeah. Could you share some closing thoughts with our listeners, because we're down to 2 minutes already.
Oh, no.
I know. So would you share some closing thoughts about your experience or your book or whatever you want to say in the last 2 minutes?
Yes, I can. There's a quote that is in my book that I'd like to read really quick, and
okay.
I think it kind of sums up everything we've been talking about.
Okay.
It's a short story. There once was a 1,000-year-old rock that lay at the bottom of a riverbed, and over the years, many a fish and waterlogged tree have scratched its surface. It has been stepped on by fishermen and strewn around by the paw of the salmon-eating bear. But it is by these abrasions that the stone became polished. And so for me, I believe that we have a way of looking at what happens to us. We can let our struggles, our roles, the different pieces of our life, we can let them define us. But I also believe that makes us rough on the outside. But if we can take our experiences and the pieces of us that we may not like,
mm-hmm.
we can allow what has happened to us in our life to polish us.
Yes.
And so I think that goes back to the responsibility that we have. It depends on what we choose to do with what happens to us. There's the saying that life is 10% what happens to you and 90% how you respond to it.
Exactly.
I believe... Yeah, but I believe life is 100% how we respond to it.
Exactly.
I truly do, and I know I might be challenged by that, but I just believe that the very basis of how we live our life is based on how we choose to live our life and how we choose to see what happens to us.
Well, Shannon, thank you so much for visiting with us. I encourage all of my listeners to tune in again next week. Next Monday, August 17th at 11 a.m., we'll have another exciting show. Shannon, this has been fantastic, and I know that all of the listeners who were on live enjoyed it, and the cool thing is people can listen to it again and again, because this show will be in the archive soon. I'm your host, Flora Brown, of Color Your Life Happy, the radio show designed to help you uncover the inner joy you deserve. I'm coming to you live from Anaheim, California, as I do every Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. You know what I'm going to say at the end of each show, so go and do that.